And Sue is going to come to the front. And Sue, over the last few months, has been doing a series of five-minute spots on the topic of how we got our Bible. So we've had one on how we got the Old Testament, one on how we got the New Testament, one on how we got the English Bible, and now we have the fourth and final installment in the series. And I've already taken some time, so now it should be about a four-and-a-half-minute spot, shouldn't it?
I see Brett sitting there in the front row keeping an eye on me. The final one is, in view of all the versions there are now, just a few thoughts on how then do we choose which version of the Bible to use. Even 50 years ago, most people in this country still used the King James or Authorised Version. And now there's a whole gamut of English versions available. So how do we decide which one to use? Well, you may or may not be pleased to hear that I'm not going to tell you which one to use or which one's best. Well, what I shall attempt to do is to just outline some of the issues to consider and make a few comments about some of the better-known translations, which will help you make choices. Of course, all English versions are translations of the original texts. The ideal would be to read the Bible in Hebrew and Greek, but most of us will never be able to do that. Although there are Greek New Testaments available with a literal English translation alongside, and they can be quite helpful for study. Of course, no translation's perfect. Anyone who's learned another language will know that it's not always easy to translate. Just as one English word can have lots of different meanings, or not to mention shades of meanings, the same is true of Hebrew and Greek. And of course, grammar and idioms and expressions are different in different languages, and you can't just translate them word for word. Anyway, the aim of translation isn't to give a word-for-word rendering, which would be very wooden in English, but to try to communicate the sense of the original language in language used today. And that's why we need new translations as language and culture changes over the years. Also, a good version for study might not be so suitable for rapid reading of large chunks. And a translation that's best for one person might not be best for someone with a different sort of reading level. The translator's task is to strike a difficult balance between accuracy and readability. At one end of the scale, you can have something approaching literal accuracy, but very awkward English that we wouldn't want to try and read. And at the other end, very good contemporary English, but taking quite big liberties sometimes with the meaning. And most translations fall somewhere along the scale between these two extremes, aiming to enable the reader to understand the text in much the same way as the original readers would have done. And it's worth knowing what sort of translation the one you have is. I mean, you can look for information about it, read the preface, or ask someone knowledgeable for advice. Not me, Anthony, probably. But some guidelines, perhaps. Don't just use a Bible version because you always have, or because you like it, or because it's easy to read. Because accuracy is important, because we need to understand correctly what God's saying to us. I know it might not be easy to work out, but try to use a version that is translated from the best manuscripts of the original languages. Again, the prefaces and that help. Because over the centuries, older manuscripts have come to light and knowledge of Hebrew and Greek has improved. By and large, translations done by a committee are preferable to those done by individuals, because individuals do tend to choose renderings that perhaps fit in with their own theology, rather than difficult ones that might be a bit awkward. Don't use a paraphrase as your main or primary version, or your only one, though it can be helpful as a supplement, but they do tend to not be quite as accurate. And it is good, perhaps, to use one translation most of the time and get familiar with it, but it's also good to consult at least one other sometimes so that you're exposed to possible alternative meanings. It's perhaps useful, if we can, to possess at least one more literal translation for study and another freer one for reading larger blocks and for comparison. And if you can afford it and cope with it, all the better to have even more. So just a few remarks on some of the more familiar versions we're likely to use. Because the King James Version, or KJV, often called the Authorised Version, is precious to many of us here, especially perhaps the older people among us, and has had a rich history and influence, only losing its place as the world's best-selling Bible about 20 years ago. However, we do need to be aware that it wasn't based on the best original texts. The understanding of Hebrew and Greek was not as good 400 years ago as it is today, and that the English language has changed considerably since the early 17th century. There is a New King James Version published in 1982 as an attempt to modernise the language of the KJV, but it used the same original text rather than being an actual new translation, so it does rather fall between two stools. The Revised Standard Version was used quite a bit in the past, though I don't think so much now. It did seek to update the King James using better original text, though it does retain some archaic language and has fallen in usage now that there are genuinely modern versions available. The Good News Bible was quite popular at one time, not so much perhaps now. It is a translation rather than a paraphrase, and it was done originally for people for whom English was a second language. So it avoids the more traditional Bible spiritual vocabulary and tries to perhaps seek out to bring the meaning of theological terms to those unfamiliar with them. The Living Bible is quite popular, but it is a paraphrase, and whilst easy to read, runs the danger of being over-interpretive at times. And probably to be preferred is something called the New Living Translation that people aren't as familiar with, but it is more accurate, though still very readable in British English. A recent version that's become quite popular with some is the Message. That's also a paraphrase, really. So it has the same drawbacks as the Living Bible, and some find it too American for their taste, although other people love it. The New International Version, which we have in the church and which now is the best-selling version in the UK, is, like all versions, not perfect. But it seeks to achieve a balance between accuracy, dignity of language and readability. Some people think it's not literal enough, others find the English too formal, but many accept it as the best currently available for general use. There is a recent, more literal translation, the English Standard Version, which might be worth investigating for study purposes. Personally, I've never looked at it, but it's something that might be worth looking at. One warning, introductions and notes included in some Bibles aren't part of the text. They can be helpful, but they're not infallible, and they need to be weighed critically, not just swallowed whole as part of the Bible. Confused? Well, I did say I wasn't going to give any clear-cut answers, and there'll always be differences of opinion on the best way to convey God's word into modern English. We should really be grateful that we've got so many versions available, as together they give valuable insights, and the majority of variations aren't crucial to doctrine. The Greek translation of the Old Testament used in Jesus' time was far from ideal, but Jesus never criticised its use, only disobedience to it. So accuracy is important, but God can speak through any version, and the vital thing is to read the Bible and obey it.